Welcome to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast where powerful women rise, lead, and own the room. I'm Kimberly Borgens, your host, fellow trailblazer, and unapologetic advocate for women in the world of business. With over 30 years of experience building success in a male-dominant industry, I'm here to empower you to do the same. Each week, you'll hear bold conversations with inspiring guests who embody strength, resilience, a little dash of sass, and a little bit of grace. Together, we'll challenge the status quo, break through barriers, unlock your confidence, and unleash your inner superhero. You ready? Let's go. Welcome to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast that fiercely empowers women to step into command presence, own their role, and lead like the strong, capable women that they are. I'm your host, Kimberly Borgens, and today I am joined by a phenomenal woman who happens to be in the marketing space, and we're going to talk with our guest. Look, she is down to earth. She's a get it done kind of gal. You know, she helps multi-million dollar businesses break through growth plateaus, right, and achieve sustainable scaling. Like, I think that's important for us to really understand. Look, this gal who I am bringing in with you today, Amy Matthews, look, I have to say this. Amy is a powerhouse, okay? She is the founder and CEO of Amy Matthews Integrated. She serves her company, you know, two key ways: by providing fractional CMO, in case you didn't know what that means, chief marketing officer, right? And marketing director services for businesses ranging from anywhere from, 750,000 to, just the small change of about $30 million in annual revenue. Look, this gal is a powerhouse. She is here to help you understand what marketing is really all about and how she can serve you as you move forward in building your business. So I just want to welcome and give a huge welcome to my friend, Amy Matthews. Hello, Amy.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here today.
I am so glad you're here. Like, Amy and I, we go back, we get together and we talk and we kind of hold each other accountable and things like that. So I'm so happy to have you.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
The good, the bad, the ugly, and the fun.
And the fun. Lots of fun. Yes.
Yes. Amy, I will just say on a personal note, Amy and I, Amy's the only person other than my spouse and family that I have spent hours, and I mean hours, in a restaurant testing food and trying new and creative things. The best afternoon brunch time I ever had. So, you know, I just want to say, I just love connecting with you, Amy. So I'm so glad you've chosen to.
Definitely mutual. Definitely mutual. I think I can see us for years to come meeting in random cities just to enjoy a long, lengthy meal to where we actually get asked to leave the table.
That's right. Only because they were closing down. That was it.
Yeah. Only because, could you move to the bar so we can reset for dinner and go home, people, please?
Exactly. Okay. So, Amy, we're going to talk about marketing right now. We're going to talk about, like, for you, your business is about creating marketing and helping people understand really what marketing is and maybe what marketing isn't. So could you share kind of with the audience, you know, something about, you know, what you think marketing is and isn't?
So I think that at its core, the most fundamental thing that marketing should be, let's say it that way, is it should be a roadmap to how you can solve your customers' problems, how you can meet their pain points. I think of them as pain points, consequences, and solutions. So customers have pain points. That's the underlying thing, the need that drives their behavior. Mm-hmm. They're most likely only ever going to talk about the consequences of those, the things that are happening in their life that are those consequences. Marketing is all about saying, I recognize that you have a need. I feel the consequence and how it's affecting you. And oh, by the way, I have a solution that can make all that better. Mm-hmm. And that's the only part in that three prong where you and your company or organization or whatever you choose to call yourself come in how you solve it, the solutions you provide. So to me, marketing is that journey. It's getting them to understand, hey, over here, I get you, I see you, and I have a solution that'll work for you.
Nice.
It's not, hey, over here, look, I'm fabulous. I'm the best thing since sliced bread. I don't know anything about you, but you should buy from me because I'm amazing. That's not marketing. That's just clutter and chatter in the marketplace.
I love it. So let's before we dig into all of that, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how did you get started in this journey?
So I can give you two examples. How did I get started in marketing? And then how I got started to have my own business and really be that superhero. I'll say in tennis shoes because Kimberly knows I don't wear a lot of heels anymore, but am back in a regular shoe on occasion. So I actually fell in love with marketing in a course in college. I'm one of those geeky people that went to school, fell in love with something, majored in it, got 2 degrees in it, and has stuck with it for 30 plus years since then. So that is really how I started, was in a marketing course at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. Yes, go Vols. And I worked on understanding marketing. It was a business course. I went to school thinking I wanted to be a corporate attorney and fell in love with marketing and never looked back.
Was that class an elective class or was it a required class?
It was a required class. It was a marketing 101 class that you were required as a business major to have. And I never stopped after that. It just something about it was exactly what lit me up. I knew it was what I needed to do.
Nice.
And then, a little over 10, October will be 11 years ago, we had a conversation at the dinner table with my then 4-year-old about what did mommy do, and realized that she had no idea that mommy not only went to college, but had a graduate degree, just like her appa. She calls him appa, which is daddy in Korean. She had no idea. She had no idea that I had all these other things. And my husband was saying, I really think you should form your own business. I was working independently just as a contractor. And I hadn't thought about it. But that moment, she said, well, Mark, mommy's job is mommy. That's her job. She doesn't have another job than that. And then when she realized I had gone to college, it just from there, I was like, okay, this is no, I can't let her think that I only have one facet. And let me stop and say, I was mom and mommy for a substantial portion of time that's all I did. And I'm fine with that. And lots of people are that, and lots of women are that. But I had more facets to myself that I wanted her to know. It wasn't that it wasn't right for her to think of me as only that. I knew she wasn't getting a complete picture of who I was.
Great. I loved how you rephrased that. And you just, you know, there's more to us than, you know, being mom. There's more to us than being a wife. There's more to us than being a business owner. We are multifaceted. And I just love how you took that and just reframed that with, you know, clarity for people to understand.
A little anecdotal story. So my daughter is a competitive archer and I take her to practice sometimes on Friday afternoons. I don't work on Fridays. And they all introduce themselves as so-and-so's mom, so-and-so's mom. And I throw all the moms for a loop because I always tell them what my name is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, I'm Mia's mom, but my name is Amy.
Right.
And they still call me Mia's mom, which is fine. But I'm like, my name is Amy.
Right. Yeah.
My name is not Mia's mom. That is just a job title that I hold.
So. Correct. I love that. I love that. For you, because by doing that, really, you're standing up in your own power, that, you know, part of your superpower of I'm here and I need you to pay attention to me too.
Well, and I think too many women allow ourselves to be defined by everyone else and the role we play for everyone else. And I think that we get to stand as unique individuals, and those roles are a part of that picture of who we are as a person.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Okay. So tell us a little bit about, look, marketing is out there. I mean, we hear it's sales and marketing as if it's one thing. And you and I both know, based on the many years in business, there's sales and then there's marketing, two completely different pieces. And you work on the marketing side. So what would you say would be like the number one marketing mistake that people are making?
Well, whether it's a teeny tiny mom and pop of solopreneur or a major corporation, it goes back to what I said in the beginning. They spend entirely too much time talking about themselves. They only want to talk about themselves. They want to talk about how great they are, how amazing they are, how many years experience they have, how many this, how many that. And at the end of the day, people love to talk about themselves and they love to hear about themselves. And if you want to sell to them, why the heck would you talk about anything else but them? Because you're already fighting the battle. If you're doing that, then you are just a part of the confused and cluttered marketplace. But if you're talking about them, they're predisposed to go, oh, okay, they're talking about me. This is a subject I like. Let's talk about that. And so that's the number one mistake I see them make, is they spend too much time talking about how amazing they are and very little time talking about how they solve a problem.
I think it's kind of reframing what your ego is supposed to do. Our ego wants to talk about us. And if you could reframe it when it comes to marketing, can you talk about the ego of your client?
Yes. And here's an interesting thing. The more you talk about them, the more they're going to talk about you.
Absolutely.
Because you made them feel heard. You made them feel seen. And they're like, oh my God, she gets me. Have you seen what she does? You have to go talk to her.
It's natural reciprocity.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. 1,000,000%.
Wonderful. I love that. Because if we really stop and take a look, if you're out there and you're listening to Amy talk here on this podcast, think about for yourself is how have you been marketing? Have you been focused on what you had to offer them? You know, what all your experiences are, all the different things. Have you been putting that out there so much? And then you're going to yourself, oh, maybe that's not, maybe that's why I'm not getting all the clients that I want. Right? Like, this is a huge takeaway. If you could take this, is how can you talk about the people, that one client that you're trying to get? Stop trying to look at so many clients, but think about the one client you're trying to get. What does their ego need to hear? Right? What is it that
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's a challenge because as people, we want to impart value. And so let me digress for a second and add to the question that you asked me about mistakes I see companies make.
Okay.
And now let's take that and channel it right to the audience of, do I see women make a larger mistake in some ways, even beyond just what the typical company makes? And I would say yes, because as women, we tend to oversell value because we feel like we have to keep listing all the ways in which what we offer is worthy of them spending money on. Now, I'm not saying that personally I do that anymore. I've learned to stop doing that, but it is our propensity to come with a laundry list of ways in which we offer enough to make it worth it. And we fall victim to that when really you don't have to list every problem you solve to make it worth the money. You have to list the most important problem that they have that you solve to make it worth the money.
Yeah, because really you're just kind of like throwing out a whole bunch of problems that I solve and hoping one sticks.
Right. And what I like to say is if you're going to do that and throw out every feature of everything you do, get really prepared to say this one key phrase, which is, and would you like fries with that? Because that's what you've just done. You've offered them a fast food menu and you're supersizing it. Whereas if I could tell you that, Kimberly, if I could say that you could work with me and you could solve this one thing that keeps you up at night or keeps your growth from being sustainable, does anything else matter? No.
No.
It doesn't. Great, I get all those other things too, but if you can solve that, I'm in.
Absolutely. Right? And so huge, valuable, I think, that by adding that to it, like we do as women, we seem to have that tendency to try to prove our value. Men just, they automatically decide they're valuable and therefore this is what I can do.
Yes. I am great. Yes. Take my word for it.
Yeah. We're both married to very strong military men. So
yes.
That's a norm for us, right?
Yeah.
But as women, we have to stop and go, look, I'm valuable in a whole lot of things, but what is it that you need me to be valuable in?
Exactly.
And I love that. I love that. I'm going to I got to look at my marketing just a little bit different.
Yeah.
But no, that's powerful. Think about for you, is there a moment that stands out for you where you were doing something and you went, you know what? I belong here.
You know, it's interesting. This actually came up for me last week. So I am a part of Dan Sullivan's strategic coach program. And in that, we learn our unique ability. People call it your zone of genius, your secret sauce, mm-hmm. insert whatever it is. Right. But I have really honed in on what those things are that are my unique ability. And last week, my schedule, which like so many of you listening, can be a beast and a bear to the 10th millionth degree. Mm-hmm. I had these huge blocks of time in what was a short week because I take Fridays off and Monday was a holiday. So I had a 3-day work week. And I dedicated continuous hours on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday solely in my unique ability. And it lit me on fire. I was so excited. I produced content. I'm not saying content like blog posts and things like that, although I do that sometimes too. This was specific content and tangible things for clients on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then did the same for my company on Thursday. My unique ability, one of them is a strategic marketing view, that I have this high level strategic marketing approach to things. And I was able to do that. And it set me on fire. I knew, hey, this is really where I'm supposed to be. And then I immediately paused and blocked time in my calendar for the coming 90 days to make sure I had more of that time to just think the way only Amy can think about things and produce stuff that was next level for my clients. Forget the tasks, but pull back to that higher level.
Yay. You know, I love that. And you could take two things out of that right there. The first thing you could take away is, you know, first I was doing this for my clients. I stayed focused. And then I also did the same thing for myself and in my business.
Yes, absolutely.
So a lot of times people are so focused on doing the client that they're not improving their own business strategy. So that would be the first takeaway. The second takeaway is that you identified it and the feeling of it and how well you did in it, that you decided moving forward, I need to make more time for that.
Yes.
And you've already booked time for that. So that's a huge strategic move for women in business, because by doing that little tiny thing, putting it on your schedule, you're going to actually get it done. And when you're in that space of like, I belong here, and you feel it and you know it, like it is so exciting. And it is just so, the feeling cannot be reproduced until you continue to do those kinds of things.
Well, and I think the key message is here. I put that time on my calendar in the future, mm-hmm. not knowing what I would have to be strategically thinking about, but knowing there would be a need for Amy to show up that way, and there would be something. So I didn't do it with a specific project in mind. I did it blocking it for client time and then blocking it again for time to work on Amy Matthews Integrated.
Wonderful. I agree 100%. You don't have to know exactly what you're going to work on. You just know you just have to be in that space.
Exactly.
Wonderful. I have a podcast coming up that I talk all about reframing what that space could look like. So there's a little teaser for everybody too.
Oh, fun.
let's see. Have you ever had to fight to be heard in your industry?
Yes. And I think definitely early on. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, I was the girl that showed up to my first interview for my full-time job at I live in the South, a very male, conservative, white bank. In a lime green and navy blue suit and wonderful heels to my first ever interview. And I spent most of my first 8 years of my career working in that environment, in that banking environment, fighting to be heard. Yeah. I was one of the many women that had a seat along the wall because there wasn't a seat at the table. So I think that there have been lots of instances of that across my career. I think one of the things we can do as we become more established as women and as entrepreneurs, as CEOs, is to walk in and just know you earned a seat at the table and to take it and not assume you're going to sit along the wall. Those of you that are listening, they're a little bit younger, are thinking, well, why wouldn't I sit at the table? Those of you that are older have been in that room where you were the woman sitting against the wall, because that's where our chairs were. Mm-hmm. And so
I'm still sitting there.
And some of them are still sitting there. Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think it's about owning the room you're in, but also owning your moment.
Mm.
Because there are times when, myself included, I tried to be heard when I didn't need to be heard. That it wasn't my turn to speaking just to be heard is not the true intention. It's contributing value in the right moment.
Absolutely.
And I think that's one of the things that I learned a great deal was showing up in that moment. I work with a lot of different businesses. Predominantly, my top clients are all men. They just happen to be all men. And because I can hang in that space in a way that works for them. They all sell to women, though, interestingly enough. Their end customers are women. And so they're smart enough to hire a marketing person that might actually understand their target audience.
Yes.
So I do think you can fight to be heard. And I think sometimes you have to learn that being the loudest isn't in the room isn't always going to get you heard.
100% in agreement to that. Absolutely.
And that's coming from me and Kimberly, who both have not small personalities. But sometimes those personalities can get in the way of us being heard. So,
absolutely. You know, I found that, you know, on that topic right there, I found that when I'm quiet and I'm observing and I'm paying attention to what everybody else is saying, that when it is my time to talk, I'm clear, I'm concise, I'm in alignment with what they're trying to create. And so it gives more value to what I actually have to say versus constantly saying things all the time. And then it just, it sounds a lot more like a lot of jibber jabber.
Well, and if you talk a lot, I'm a talker. I will own that. If you talk a lot, one of the most powerful things you can do is be quiet because everybody's like, oh, what's coming? Something's coming. Something's brewing, the wheels are turning, she's got something to say, and oh, here it comes. And then they all listen. Absolutely. And so it is very powerful when you're usually the outspoken.
Yeah, it's a strategic move. But more importantly, I think that because you're quiet and because they know that you offer value, they go, okay, sometimes I'll be sitting at a table and they'll say, Kimberly, you're awful quiet. did you want to add something to this? And for me, that's a moment I just got the invitation.
Exactly.
Right? Versus just taking the space. But now I'm getting the invitation because they want to hear.
Exactly.
And that can be powerful on its own as well. So we shifted topics just a little bit, but I think that it's important to say this. That we have to fight for that space sometimes to be heard. And sometimes you don't have to yell to be heard. And sometimes you can be heard the loudest when you are quiet. So,
well, you know, one thing I think is important too, and I know we're kind of going down a rabbit hole here, but I think it's really important as a woman to understand this, especially as I said, for someone who works with a lot of male clients. And I work with some men who are in very male dominated industries.
Mm-hmm.
And I set some of those expectations. I participate in group meetings sometimes with their larger companies. I set those expectations up front. What role do you want me to play?
Yeah.
And so there are times where the client's like, okay, I need you to come in and lay the law down. I'm like, all right, I got that. Or I need you to kind of sit back and come up with this idea sitting at the table. I'm like, all right, I got that. We're good. you tell me what role you need me to show up as, and that's what I'm going to do. And if it's going off the rails, then we'll take a break and we'll step aside and I'll go, okay, this is not working. We need to go this direction. But I think it's helpful and I like it because sometimes it's very powerful when you get asked
absolutely
for your input.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice little wrapping that little rabbit hole up. Okay, so let's come back to marketing for a minute.
Yeah.
What could be three or four steps that someone who's listening today could take if this was their only interaction with us? What steps could they take towards their marketing to get started, getting into action today?
Okay, so let's boil it down. Let's take first to keep it not high level, but keep it super simple. Go to your website.
Okay.
How long on your website does it take me to figure out how you help someone? Now stop and be really honest. Are you telling me how you help someone and the benefits of working with you? Or are you listing your features and you should have a big old supersize button, add fries to that? Because I think that if you start to look at it with, or look at it, and I would even encourage you to do this, read your website out loud to yourself.
Yeah.
And say, did I just read an infomercial for myself? Or did I just read a how-to manual to solve my client's problems?
Hmm. That's key.
So that's one.
Okay.
I think two is stop taking advice from so many people that has you running and scurrying back and forth from thing to thing. Because you're going to hear, you should be on LinkedIn. You should be on Facebook. You should be doing short form videos. You should be on YouTube. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. I would say, and then you're going to hear, you should be doing the thing that feels most comfortable for you. All of that is a bunch of junk. What you should be doing are the things that connect to where your customer is when they are in the mode of making a decision about what you do.
Say that again.
What you should be doing are the things and the places where your customer is when they are in the mode of making a decision about what you do. I'll give you an example. I love to scroll Facebook and Instagram in my free time. I look at cookie things because I like to bake and decorate cookies. I look at dog rescue stuff because I love dogs. And I probably look at a few other things, crafty related things. I love to crochet. That's my jam right now is crocheting. I hate buying stuff that doesn't relate to those three things when I'm searching on there. So if you're looking to get me as a CEO of my company, I am not in that space for that. I am scrolling right past you.
Yeah.
But if you were to put something in there about a great event you had that would help me in my business and you put that on LinkedIn, because when I'm on LinkedIn, I'm there for business.
Right.
I'm there looking for something. That's just me. I'm just saying me. You need to know that about your customer. So that's thing two is only show up where your customer is when they're making decisions about what you do.
I would just want to say to that is I'm the same way. Instagram is just for me to scroll through, to look at things that make me feel good in the moment. Yes. I do
make some Taylor Swift stuff about empowering women. I'm all there. Yes,
exactly. Right. And I know a lot of people sell on Instagram, which is great because then that's where their audience is and they're connecting with their audience for those things. But as the CEO of my company, that's not where I'm when I'm making decisions. That's not where I'm playing. So exactly. I agree with you 100% on that. And people are like, Kimberly, you got to get into TikTok. And I'm like, it's not going to happen.
Nope.
It's not going to happen for me. And my marketing team, like, Kimberly, you know, nope, it's not going to happen. Like, you have to know yourself well enough to know who my client is.
Yes.
And where do I need to play?
Exactly.
So it's a huge number two there for you.
Exactly. And I would say the third thing is to constantly be stepping back and saying, is how I'm showing up consistent across everything. Is it integrated, which is hence Amy Matthews integrated, in that am I showing up as one thing on LinkedIn and something different on my website and something completely different when they meet me in person? That doesn't mean you don't have different lines of business, because you can have different lines of business, yep. but you need to show up for that line of business consistently.
Right.
And I think that is nothing is worse than a confused customer, because a confused customer does not buy.
Absolutely.
You don't want them going to Google for the answer because they're never coming back to you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
They're gone to a rabbit hole and they've just ordered whatever the latest gizmo or gadget is. And they, you know, maybe at 3 o'clock in the morning, 6 months from now, they'll wake up and go, oh, and then they're back to sleep.
Absolutely. You know, I have KimberlyBorgans.com because then that's all about me and everything that I do. It kind of integrates all this stuff. But 90% of the time, you're not going to see Kimberly Borgans marketing Delta Protective Services, our security business. I'm not marketing that. That's not me. It's not my brand to market. It's the company's brand to market.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And I know that. And so, yeah, I have different, I'm in different, many different markets. I do business consulting and coaching under Be a Legacy, but then I have KimberlyBorgans.com that integrates with that. But the security business, I'm very clear, it has its own market and it markets, the business markets itself in essence.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? Yeah. I market KimberlyBorgans.com.
Absolutely. And if you see me post something on my personal Facebook, it's a personal thing that I'm posting.
Right.
Would I maybe make a tie into business? Well, yeah, because my brain will go there.
Correct.
Well, I'll notice something. I posted one time about my daughter and the process she goes through, the 12-step process before you take a shot in archery. And I tied that in because sitting there, I reflected on, wow, that very much is, it comes all the way down to then you just have to let it go.
Right.
And there's a saying in archery, you got to let that go, because at the end of the day, that it what happens when the arrow leaves the bow, everything else is, you've planned everything, but you can't necessarily plan for the gust of wind that comes that you didn't know was coming.
Right.
And then how do you correct after that?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So I might tie them to business stuff, but at the end of the day, it was a personal post.
Right. Yeah. So for me, Facebook is a little bit of both. There's a lot of personal, there's a lot of business, because my personal is also business.
Right. And your client is there.
Correct. A lot of my clients are there, but you know, when you live with your husband and you work with your husband, yep. the personal line edge, you know, kind of edges all together sometimes.
That's a whole nother podcast we could both go through. Yes, very much.
With our spouses. Don't worry, that one's coming.
Yes. How not to talk about work at the dinner table. Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. How about some rapid fire questions? Let's see.
Absolutely.
Here.
Let's go.
You already answered what my number one I always ask is heels or sneakers. And you already said that one. So we know that one. So how about what's something that is still on your bucket list?
I want to go to the South Pacific.
Ooh, any place particular?
Sam, that's my husband, and I want to do Fiji and all around in that area, and do some touring around in that area. Probably starting in Korea and using that as a jump off point to visit family, and then go from there.
Nice. That sounds like fun. Texting or talking?
I'd love to say texting, but it really is talking. At the end of the day, I can't type as much as I can talk.
Favorite day of the week and why?
My favorite day of the week is, oh, wow, that's hard. Because I like them all for different reasons. But I would say Friday, because they're free days for me and I don't work on Fridays. And it is a gift to myself. And the ramifications for my business are exponential in ways I never thought they would be. And when I say it's a free day, it really is 24 hours free day. I do not think about work. I do not talk about work. Many of the people that would listen to this that know me know that I don't check email. I don't answer. If you call me and need something, I'm in and out really fast.
Yes. Yes. Friday is Amy Day.
It's Amy Day. And I spend a lot of time with my daughter. I do different things. So Friday is probably my favorite day.
Got it. Okay. Favorite power move before a big meeting?
Hey, you know, music. And I don't always remember to use it, but I do have a networking playlist that I'll listen sometimes while I'm putting my makeup on. But music, really getting myself in that mode from a music standpoint. Yeah. Wonderful. Second to that would be podcast. If I have a podcast, a business podcast, depends on what power place I need to be in. Mm-hmm. But music sometimes, especially for networking, helps loosen those of us that are a little more serious up to be able to be in that fun space.
Got it. I love it. Okay. Look, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have walked away with some great value with Amy Matthews here. Look, I can't thank you enough, Amy, for joining me today. I mean, I love life with you.
We're ditto.
And, you know, we can step into that space of just relaxing and just being us, that, you know, that we can just, without judgment, right? We just go in and we go, whew, you know, we can vent to each other. We can cry on each other's shoulders if we want. We can call each other out and say, what are you doing? No, that's not okay. And I love that space with you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never been on the receiving end of that in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. We'll stick with that. So,
yeah.
You know, and the takeaways, I hope that you're able to take away some key pieces. Look, when it comes to marketing, get your ego out of the way and start looking for the ego of your client. Find out what it is that they need, what they want, and start talking to that. Because I think that, like Amy said, that's a key strategy for creating more sustainable marketing success. Look, you can visit Amy, like she said, on LinkedIn. That's her place of business. Also, her website. Go to her website. Check it out. Remember she said test your website? Well, you can test hers too, right? She's look to see what she has in place. And her
disclaimer, if you go right away and look at it and go back in about less than a month, it's going to look different because we're in the process of changing some things too. So nice. Look both times and see how it evolved.
There you go. That's a great strategy. So it's amilc.com. AMILC.com for Amy Matthews' website. And then visit her, you know, connect with her on LinkedIn if you're serious about business. And, you know, I do want to say this, Amy, is, you know, we've talked about it. We're both, you know, building business and we have, you know, multi-million-dollar clients and, you know, way multi-million-dollar clients. And sometimes, you know, we were talking about this recently is, a lot of times people come to our website, they go to our social media stuff and they say, oh, you know, I want to hire you. And most of the time what's going to happen is you're going to get hired by my business and you're going to work with my team.
Absolutely.
Right. People have to work. We're at the level where, you know, sometimes that we're not the person you're going to work with directly. Now, right. We can be, depending on the certain circumstances. Like if you're in the Hive Society or the Hive Hangout with me, I have some team in there, but I actually answer, right? Yes. I actually respond to those things.
Yes.
Right? I'm a participant. But when it comes down to working with a high-level businesswoman, sometimes you're going to have to start with their team. So I want
to... I think a great tip is look and see if that businesswoman has thought leadership that's out there, be a blog or their website or their LinkedIn, because you can gain a lot of insights without working directly with them. Absolutely. Until you reach the level that you're playing in that sandbox.
Absolutely. That's key tip right there.
And their team does thing their way or they wouldn't be on their team.
Absolutely. So again, you can check out Amy Matthews Integrated because I know she does do blog. So make sure that you read some of those. You can hook with her on LinkedIn, amilc.com, amymatthewsintegrated.com is, you know, shortened down. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode, make sure that you share a review, share with your friends, put it out on your social media. If you know some people that are looking to get some marketing support, subscribe to the podcast. If you enjoyed this this episode, make sure that you subscribe and share with your friends. And just know, like, our next episode, you want to take notice of that, is we have this amazing person that actually Amy and I both know, and that's Dr. Elizabeth Rosner. And her episode is Leading with Love, Debt-Free Degree, and such powerful pieces on your thinking about.
Can I give you a little teaser for her?
Sure.
So talking to Dr. Ros, I heard her speak at an eWomen Network event years ago, and listening to her Leading with Love transformed who I was as a leader in my own business, both with my team and myself.
Wonderful. Look, you definitely don't want to miss this next episode. I've been bringing in some powerful women, and just Dr. Elizabeth Rosner is just another one. And I look forward to seeing you over there on that episode. So thank you so much for joining me here with Superheroes in Heels. Again, I'm your host, Kimberly Borgens. And definitely go check us out, KimberlyBorgens.com. I look forward to connecting with you soon. Have a blessed day.
Thanks for tuning in to Superheroes in Heels with Kimberly Borgens. If you're walking away feeling a little braver, a little bolder, and a whole lot more powerful, mission accomplished. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review. It helps us to reach more women who are ready to unleash their power and lead with confidence. And if you do leave a review, you might just hear your name in an upcoming episode. If today's conversation lit a fire in you, share it with your network and join us inside the Hive Society at KimberlyBorgens.com, where powerful women gather to break barriers and rise together. Until next time, keep showing up, standing strong, and heels or not, keep embracing your inner superhero.